Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 8. So, Jim, it's just you and me now, Howard said, sitting down in his desk chair and gesturing for Jim to take a seat in one of the other chairs. Jim sat down slowly, wondering if this was how his own clients felt when he greeted them in the office. Why do you keep calling me Jim? How is it that you know me? I don't buy the thing about you being on the internet. Neither Matt nor I had any signal in here. Howard looked at him with an expression that looked almost like pride. Very good. You tried your phones while you were wandering around the mansion. No, of course, you don't have cell service in here unless I allow it. Who the hell are you really? Jim asked. I thought you were just another immortal. Or maybe a wizard with a little more flair for the dramatic than the ones I've met so far. But you're not, are you? No wizard I've heard of can control cell phone signals. That's a very complicated question to answer in a short time, Jim. First of all, no, I'm not like you, although I, for all intents and purposes, am immortal. I'm not exactly a wizard either, although to the primitive, all technology is akin to magic. So, what's left? An alien? I don't believe in those. Alien would be wrong as well, although I wasn't born on Earth. Howard opened a drawer in his desk and brought out a bottle of golden liquid. Can I offer you a drink? Forget about the drink. Just answer the question. Who the hell are you? Howard brought two glasses up from another drawer and slowly poured the liquid into them, ignoring Jim's words. I think, he said, that the best answer to that question I can give is, I'm your maker, Jim, your creator. My creator? Honestly, buddy, you're misinformed. I haven't believed in a god in a long time. Who said anything about being God? Although I have been called that on numerous occasions. Like I said, primitives will take anything outside of their own understanding to be magic or, for that matter, divinity. I'm not God. If you ask me if I created heaven and earth, if I made the universe full of life and made the planets fly the right course, if I'm infallible, all-knowing, and all-seeing, I can truthfully say no. If, however, you ask me if I can do things that would be considered divine, the answer is yes. Things like predicting the future to a reasonable degree, create or destroy matter with just a thought, alter what you consider reality or resurrect a dead person. Yes, I can do those things easily enough. So when I say I created you, Jim's lips had slowly turned white while Howard spoke. Now he finished the sentence in a whisper. You made me immortal. Exactly. I needed someone to do a little something for me, and I found you. Jim slowly stood up, his hand reaching into his jacket and touching the butt of his gun, even though he knew it was a foolish thing to do. If this man, or whatever he was, had the kind of powers he was claiming, a bullet wouldn't even be a problem for him. You son of a goddamned bitch! You're the one responsible for this? You brought me back and left Ginger to die because you needed someone to do a little something? His voice started low, but rose almost to a yell at the end. Howard looked at him with calm eyes. I did. And to be quite frank, Jim, you're better off this way. Like I said, the future is often visible to me, and I knew what you were destined for if you'd stayed with her.
What do you mean?
I mean, Ginger wasn't the paragon you believed her to be, Jim, but it's not my place to tell you about your wife's character. The point was that I knew what kind of future you were going to have, and I took it upon myself to change your fate. That makes me your creator, as far as I can see.
You said you changed my fate, but how could you if you knew my future?
Howard lifted one of the glasses to his lips.
You're quite sure you don't want a drink?
You might need it, and this is 120-year-old scotch.
If you're not drinking it, I will.
Slowly, Jim took his hand away from the gun and reached for the glass. He felt like he was moving through water. His fingers closed around the glass, and holding it, he sat down again in the chair, making the liquid splash back and forth in the glass.
Don't spill it. Trust me, you're going to need every single drop of that,
Howard said. Jim looked at the glass, lifted it to his mouth, and tried the whiskey. He'd never tasted anything like it, and he could feel the flavor fill his mouth and throat. Had the circumstances been different, he might have savored every bit of the drink, but now his mind was too busy with Howard's words.
Knowing the future is one thing, Jim, Howard continued. But history is a strange and fluid thing, and one can never truly know the outcome of anything. I can alter the course of history, if I so choose, provided that no one else has altered it already. Create the future I want, in a manner of speaking. But even that might not always happen the way I want it.
No one else? Jim said, and the pieces clicked inside his head at once.
There are more of you. Us, whatever you call it. I've searched my whole life trying to find other immortals, but I've only found one. I thought perhaps that I was the last one now.
Ah, yes, Michael. You encountered him a while ago. I'm sorry to say that he was actually one of my creations as well, not one of my own kind. Howard put the glass down again. He was, shall we say, successful in his mission.
Successful? The guy was a psycho killer.
He was, indeed, which is why I sent him your way. I wanted you to encounter him and stop him, get an idea of your own powers. And, of course, you needed the sword.
His sword? Yeah, I've got it. It's actually been pretty useful.
Of course it has, Howard smiled.
I made it for you. It's going to play a big part when the mission ends. And what kind of mission is that? I've got absolutely no plans to be your puppet.
You've got very little choice in the matter, Jim. Not to worry, though. I'm not going to tell you what to do. The conclusion to your mission is already underway.
Why don't you just tell me the whole thing?
Jim said, feeling his stomach clench in anger.
I'm already sick of being guided and controlled, and of hearing that you've somehow decided you know what's best for me. If you want me to continue listening, you tell me things straight out, or I walk out this door right now.
If you walk out, I could just let you wander the mansion for the next 100 years, Jim. Your friends would be long gone by then.
Relax. I'll tell you as much as I can.
Jim had felt his hand clench around the glass, but forced himself to relax. He leaned back in the chair and tasted the whiskey again.
Okay. Start talking.
Howard tapped his fingers together in a pyramid and looked at Jim. All right. As you surmised, there are others like me. We're not from your world, but from, I could say, another dimension, but it wouldn't be quite right. Another level, perhaps, is closer to the truth. But you wouldn't be able to understand it anyway, so don't worry about it. If it makes it easier to think of us as a race of gods, that's fine. Like I said, we've been called that before. We live here now. That's what's important. Earth is as much our home as it is yours.
Some of us have chosen to live among the human race, like me, although I got tired of it after a while and created this mansion to be alone. Others live in lonely mountains, forests, or in other places where humans don't come. Occasionally, some are spotted, and fantastic fairy tales are often spun around it. Some of us have chosen to just sit back and watch the world unfold, while others have taken a more active role. Those of us that did so have poked and prodded the world of men here and there over the centuries. We became wealthy, powerful, faded away, and became powerful again, living many different lives under many different names. Some became inventors, giving mankind new tools to better, or worsen, their lives. We try to never start wars or create religions, although I'm fairly certain one of us was behind at least one of the prevailing religions today. I'm not going to tell you which one, though. That would be cheating. So you interfere with the lives of people whenever you feel like it? Interference doesn't have to be a bad thing. Usually, if one of us does something, well, something that's harmful or cruel on a larger scale, another one will intervene and try to make the effects somewhat smaller. Meaning what? Meaning, essentially, that if I saw one of my fellows had sunk a ship, I would attempt to send a lifeboat. Why not just go back in time and prevent the sinking? Or can't you move in time? We can, but one of the clear agreements between us is that we can't undo what another has done. If we did that, everything would be a complete stalemate between us, and it might end up with us fighting amongst ourselves. Such a fight would be bad for the world, Jim, I can tell you that much. I'm not afraid to use a term like Ragnarok to describe it. Okay, so you just clean up after each other, whatever. Go on. One of my fellows had, at some point, guided a young, talented man to Paris and made sure he was introduced to a vampire, who in turn made the young man a vampire as well. A rare one, with an artistic, creative mind. Maurice, Jim said, understanding dawning in his eyes. One of your kind created him.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Exactly. I looked into the future to see what would happen with him and where he would eventually end up. I did not like that world one bit, Jim, and I've seen some rather horrible things in my time. Maurice would become the leader of a new group of vampires who would, eventually, become dominant in North America. Caring little for the traditional counterbalance for vampires, preserving the human population so you have something to live off, he eventually would be responsible for the death of the human race on this continent, creating a nation of vampires. Are you saying he and his vampires would kill every single American? Jim said. I find that hard to believe. No, not as such. Vampires need blood to survive, and there were still humans alive here, technically, although I would consider them alive only in the sense a cattle in the charnel chute is still alive. Anyway, at some point, the other nations will retaliate and contain the contagion. I spoke of Ragnarok before, but this would be the war of the humans, not the gods. A war like that would turn America into a radioactive wasteland to destroy the vampires. As you can see, not a very pleasant future. I thought you said your kind didn't start wars. We don't, as a rule. but unfortunately, this one is sort of a loophole. My kinsman hasn't created the war, just the agent of destruction that will end up destroying the country. Howard sighed. Believe me, there's a reason I spend most of my time alone in this mansion instead of meeting up with others of my kind. Discussing loopholes in the rules like this can be incredibly tedious. Tedious? We're talking about the end of my country! Jim raised his voice again. I know. I couldn't very well undo what he had done in creating Maurice, so I knew I had to do something else. I went out and created an agent of my own. Me? But Maurice was made a vampire in 1859. Why did you wait that long? I didn't. I created several agents, actually. Michael was one of them. Sadly, none of them had the mental stability that would be necessary to make it to the end of the mission. I did create the sword as an instrument to be used against Maurice, and my agents all carried it, passing it on to the next one whenever they ceased to be useful. Now, you have it. But why me? Why was I so special? If you think back to your youth, Jim, you might be able to answer that question yourself. You were an honest cop in a city where every other official was taking bribes from the criminal underworld. You had a desire to see justice done and to do the right thing, even when the odds were against you. You were tough, but you had a heart, unlike so many others of your time. You were driven. You had the mindset to survive and go on, even in the face of great hardship. Most of all, you had a capacity to care about others, although you hid it pretty well back then. I decided to give you the chance to become my agent and gave you the powers you needed for the job. The immortality, the healing. Jim nodded slowly, taking it in. Exactly. Could you have saved Ginger? Jim asked. Do you know how many years I spent grieving for her? How much it hurt to be alive when she wasn't? I could have, but I had no interest in her, to be honest. You were the one I needed. You said before that you knew more about her character. What did you mean? Howard shook his head. That's not for me to tell you. Bullshit! Jim almost shouted. You're telling me you've chosen me for something. I've lived with the powers you gave me, curse or blessing, ever since then. And I've spent most of those years being miserable. Yeah, I moved on, like you said, and I cared about others. But I want to know why she wasn't worthy of your high and mighty ideals. She was a wonderful woman. Jim, no eyes are as blind as the ones who are in love. You didn't see Ginger's faults because you were too close. Trust me when I tell you she was not the ideal you've made her into over all these years. You don't get to just leave it at that. You need to give me some straight answers, damn it! Howard leaned back in his chair. If you get the answers to those questions, Jim, you're not going to like them. I can't just tell you. You'd never believe me. You would have to see for yourself. But to do that might unbalance the equation that I've prepared for so long. Do you want my help stopping Maurice? Then you spill the beans right now, or I walk out of here and stop doing... What the hell is it you want me to do anyway? I'll get in my car and drive to Mexico tonight, leaving Maurice to do whatever he wants with the city and the country. You wouldn't do that. Just try me. I've had a long time to get stubborn in, and I could use a vacation right about now, to be honest. If you don't give me the answers I want, I'll screw up your precious mission if it's the last thing I live to do. Howard sighed. You are so damn stubborn. That's actually one of the reasons I chose you. But, as I said, telling you isn't going to work. I'll have to show you. And if I show you, I'm undoing the change I've made myself, altering the flow of time again. What are you saying? I'm saying I can send you back to your life in 1933, before you and Ginger were shot. But in doing so, I'm running the risk of you not getting shot when you were, and you never become immortal. That might change the present-day world a little, or a lot. The impact you had over the years would be gone, and a new future would be created. I am allowed to do this, because the change I'm undoing is my own, but that doesn't mean I want to. It's a damn high risk to take when we're this close to the mission's end. Even I won't know what happens if I undo this. I might have to start all over again, and it might not go the way I want it. Jim emptied his glass and put it down on the table. In his mind, he saw images of Andrew, Mercedes, and Rhea. They were his friends, and there were no other living people in the world he cared about more. He thought of Matt waiting for him outside this crazy house, hopefully with the rescued boy, and cared about him, too. Then another face filled his mind. Ginger's face. The blonde hair, the blue eyes, the dimples when she smiled. His heart pounded. Her face drowned all the others out, making them fade and disappear into the dark of his mind. A little voice inside him still tried to reason with him, though. Less than 2 weeks ago, he had told Rhea he loved her, and now he was about to potentially leave her behind. What would happen to his friends, his lover, in the new future, if what Howard said was true? Would they be okay? He couldn't know. Somehow, though, it all seemed so secondary to him. He could return to the life he had once had. He could be with Ginger again, maybe even actually make a life with her, avoid the death sentence that this strange man had meant for him. And even if that meant the world might change a little, he reasoned, someone else would surely be able to handle Maurice. Someone else could help the people of San Francisco communicate with their departed spirits. Someone else could go to Berlin and steal the Enigma machine, and someone else could save little boys lost in old mansions. He couldn't be that important. What was important was Ginger, seeing her again, touching her, hearing her voice and kissing her lips. The little voice fell silent. Jim had made his decision. "Take me back." His voice was tense, and the words came out sounding like a prayer instead of an order. Howard also drank the last of his whiskey. "Very well, if you insist. Now, you might retain some memory of this life, but it will be dreamlike, almost like you saw it in a movie or heard it in a radio play, because it won't have happened yet. If I could bring you back with your current personality and knowledge, that would, of course, be the best, but I'm not exactly time-traveling here. I'm undoing something I've done a long time ago, and so your mind will be affected. You will be the man you were back then, and not the man you are today. Do you understand?" "I think so. How do I get back if..." Jim hesitated. "If I prefer this world to the old one?" "If you decide to still become immortal, you won't have to do anything. Let things take their natural course. Go to the play with Ginger. Go home, and the next day go for a walk with her. That way, you will get shot again." "But the men who gunned us down back then weren't even supposed to shoot us. They were shooting at a window. It was all random." "Nothing is random once we interfere." Howard's face had a look on it that Jim had seen before on the faces of people taking pride in a piece of work they had done. "What about Maurice? If I go back and decide to stay there, and the present changes, who will take care of him?" Jim got to his feet. "I don't know. As I said, even I don't know what will happen. We'll have to find out together. There might be someone else I can use, or there might not. This is why I really don't want to do this." "I don't care. Send me back." Howard tilted his head and looked at him. "Yes, you do. You do care. That's why I chose you. I hope you will choose to care again." "How do we do this? Do you snap your fingers and send me on my way, or is there a burning bush involved, a pillar of fire? You know your Old Testament, Jim. Very good. Well, why not? I always did enjoy the dramatic. Howard got to his feet, went to Jim, and stood right in front of him. He put his hand on one shoulder and held up his other hand in front of Jim's face, fingers ready to snap. Last chance to change your mind? Do it, Jim said. Howard snapped his fingers.